Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving wisdom through this study and opening it to our ears and our eyes. And we thank you so much for what you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about a crucified life and how it brings purity. And this will be part two of what we started once before. This first revelation we've called, Man-Child Will Purify God's House. It was given to Claire Pienaar, February the 25th, 2021. And sometimes her husband, Rion, you know, puts notes in it too, before I get to see it. And she said, in this dream, I was in our house with my husband, Rion, David Eels, representing the First Fruits David Man-Child Reformers, was in our house too. He had white hair down to his shoulders, and he looked more like Moses than himself. He was wearing an ancient sort of clothing. David's hair represents the increasing glory, 30, 60, and 100-fold, she says. And she gives Mark 4 and 20, and those are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. He covered his white hair with a little black, dark hat. Well, if you remember, that's very similar to what was spoken about Moses. Moses' face shone with the glory of God, so bright that he had to veil that glory when he went before the people. But he took the veil off when he went before God, in order to receive more of his glory, right? And the reason that the David Man-Child Reformers looked like Moses is this, Acts 3, 22 through 23. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall you hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Now you'd probably say, a lot of people would, but Jesus fulfilled that. And I would say that's correct. But Jesus said he was coming a second time as a man-child born to a woman, and this story is in Revelation chapter 12. Well, where did he say he was coming a second time? John 16, 21 and 22. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. There's your man-child being born of the woman into the world. Of course, we look all the way through the book and we find that in Revelation 12. Okay. And verse 22, and ye therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again. Okay, now we have Jesus in the man-child at the end doing the same thing in a corporate way of what he did in the Middle East, okay? I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. Well, you know, Jesus first came in a body of the Son of David, and so he will be now in a corporate body of the spiritual David's by his word and by his spirit. History always repeats with larger groups of people. As the Lord told me many, many years ago, it was a key to much, much revelation. And it always repeats. You know, we know the truth about the end times when we discover this. That is a repetition of history. And therefore, people can't carry us off into false doctrines that save our flesh while we're still walking in it, right? David was walking through our house, making sure everything was white. Furniture, walls, etc. He had a paintbrush in his hand. Well, I believe this is pointing to another dual fulfilled prophecy, with Jesus starring in this one too. Because I'm not magnifying men when I talk about the man-child. The flesh profits nothing, Jesus said. It's the spirit that gives life. It's the one who lives in them. Now, how do we get Jesus to live in us? Well, we put his word in our hearts because he is the word made flesh. We put his word in our heart and we receive of his powerful spirit. In the coming days, the man-child is going to be anointed with the latter rain before the people. Malachi 3, 1 through 3 says, Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Well, in this temple we're talking about is, first of all, the man-child, but he's just the first fruits of many, right? But God has to show this to the people so that they know this is what God's calling is to do in them, okay? Will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. But who can abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. In other words, a purifier, like white represents, right? And like a fuller's soap, which makes white, right? And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi. Amen. And we're all called to be priests of the Lord, aren't we? A kingdom of priests, it's called. And refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness, which is symbolized by white, and in this case, his white house, right? Awesome. Some other people, perhaps younger women, were walking behind him, asking him, Why are you doing this? Well, let me say, the more immature women in Song of Solomon did not understand the bride's radical running after the groom. And the churches are the same way. They don't think there's any point to it. All they have to do is accept Jesus as their Savior and sit down on a pew and wait for the rapture, right? No, we've been called here to die here and to lose our life so that we may gain the life of Christ, so that Christ may minister through us. Amen. She went on to say, he replied, it's got to be done. I said to him, David, everything is already white. We've already painted it. The exterior of the house is old, but it too is white. And David replied, yes, but we must get rid of the cracks. Yes, notice, there is a place that's almost ready, and it's been purified, and it's going to be more purified. Notice, okay? And 2 Corinthians 7, 1 says, Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, when the man-child is anointed, he will complete the work in the people. And also, when David became king, he destroyed the Edomites, who factioned or separated people against their own brethren. And that's common out there today. The factious represent the cracks that separate God's people. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. David then went into the dining room and gave our already white dining table another coat of paint, white. He painted our already white chairs white again. And even the chrome-colored chair legs he painted white. The dining room is where the unleavened bread, the spiritual food of the Word, is served. 1 Corinthians 13:9-12 says this, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. And now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I also I was fully known." Well, amen. It is on to maturity in Christ. We were put here to bear the fruit of Christ, who is the sower of the seed in the parable of the sower, 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's why we're here. We're not here to sit and wait for the rapture. And by the way, if the rapture happened today, very few people would go. Because no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. And that is Jesus. And Jesus has to live in you 30, 60, and 100-fold. Right? Then David looked at the only wooden unpainted piece of furniture, a side buffet table. And with his paintbrush, he painted it white. Someone asked him, "Why does this also need to be painted? It's never used." He replied, "I can't wait for someone else to do it. I must do it now." Yes, there's a lot that's not being used. A lot of the furniture in God's holy place is not being used. And they don't even believe, you know, that it's possible that we can walk in the steps of Jesus, right? Everything that displays the unleavened bread of the Word has to be purified, even this side buffet table. The man-child will be first in our day with the pure Word by Father's grace, just by Father's grace, nothing to be brag about or to take credit for whatsoever. And Jesus said in John 9:4-5, "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So what he's saying is take advantage of the man-child's gift of knowledge and wisdom and anointing while you have him, right? Yes. That was true in Jesus' day then, and it's true in Jesus' day now. Psalm 51:7-13. "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." There's that whiteness again. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." That's whiteness again. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Romans Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Well, amen. Amen. She said David was working feverishly the whole time. His body was so energetic. His steps were energetic and fast-paced. His hands were nimble and quick. But he was calm and spoke quietly. He was smiling and was at ease doing this job. Well, that's because it is Jesus in the man-child who will do the work. Matthew 12:18-21 says this, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry aloud, neither shall anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, until he has sends forth a judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles hope. Amen. And Matthew 10:19-20 tells us to be not anxious how or what we shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. Okay, so God has chosen to speak in these days, just like in Jesus' day. You know, Jesus was the anointed of the Lord. And that anointing confirmed his word with signs and wonders so that the people listened to him. Of course, the Pharisees had none of that themselves, so they weren't prepared to compete in the eyes of honest people. Right? And they didn't, and they were jealous, and they were angry, and they killed him, right? But not really. Then he said, Come, we need to sit under the table and pray for protection. Rion, David, and I, as well as these other young women, who I do not know, sat under the table as if we were preparing for an earthquake. Okay, well, great earthquakes, both spiritual and physical, are coming, and many will die. And being under the authority of the food of God's word, which is under the table, right, where it is served, will bring growth and protection. Psalm 27:5 says this, For in the day of trouble, he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. And here's some portions of Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, it's still a secret place to a lot of people. They don't know how to abide in Christ. And to abide in Christ, we're told, is to walk as he walked. Well, they don't think that's possible, and their preachers have told them so. Well, that's an antichrist teaching. We're called to walk in the steps of Jesus and not just be called Christians, but to be Christians. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. We confess Him as our Savior in all things. My God, in whom I trust, confess even our faith and our trust in Him. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 7. A thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. So there is a place of protection and blessing from God. Most of God's people don't know that. And since it is, be it unto you according to your faith, many will pass away. And that's, of course, one of the things that we must reveal to the people of God in these coming days, is the provision that Jesus had made. It is all inclusive as far as salvation, spirit, soul, and body. Right? Rion took my phone, or his phone, out and showed me the phone screen, which was completely white. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not to look upon evil, as David taught, and deception or impurity, you know, because the eye is a gate to the soul. What you look upon goes into your soul. And therefore, we should forbid that we look upon anything on the phone or on the computer, because they both kind of work the same way, before our eyes. And why should we look upon the status quo anyway? We need to look upon Jesus. This is how we come into his image, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. There was a simple definition in black newspaper font typed on the screen. And Christian, noun. They will be destroyed because they worshipped another Messiah. That was on the screen. So, it's a false Jesus and a false word that is destroying God's people. They are looking upon and listening to, both the eye gate and the ear gate, a bunch of garbage. And garbage in, garbage out. You never can overcome what you put in unless you put in Jesus, the true word of God. This will cause you to overcome everything. The flesh wants only a flesh-pleasing Jesus, and religion is the same, but we're not to look on each such deception, but God's pure word. If we want to be pure on the inside, we've got to look at the pure on the outside, right? That's why we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. There will be no protection for those who depart from the pure word and its promises. Isaiah 8:20 says this, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them. He's talking about resurrection mourning there. And Revelation 22:18-20 warns us, and I wish so many would understand this. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, be very careful not to do that, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies these things, which is Jesus, right, saith, yea, I come quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, we say it today often. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I woke up and received the following by faith at random, and my finger landed on watch out and life does not consist. And that was in Luke 12 and 15, New International Version. And here is the ASV version. Luke 12 and 15. And he said unto them, take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now I want to tell you something. President Trump is going back in there. And along with him is a great restoration from all the garbage that the leftist deep state have done to try to destroy everything he did. A great restoration is coming. A prosperity as far as provision is coming. And people quite often abuse that. And this is a really good warning to be careful that you don't do that. Be careful that you use it as God commands, because we are stewards. We are not owners in the New Testament. If you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. That means we're stewards and not owners. We handle it for him. So, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Matter of fact, they can be a great distraction, right? Yes, everybody probably needs a car in most cases, and a house, and you know, and it would be good if we didn't have to struggle with all this while we get out there and get the gospel out, right? So God can do these things for us, but we're not to make idols out of these things. This is a very important warning for the true people of God at this point in time, for great prosperity will come to test us. Please read this carefully, 1 Timothy 6, 5 through 10. Go back, mark it, read it. It says, wranglings of men corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, supposing that godliness is a way of gain. There is a whole bunch of people out there in this prosperity foolishness thinking that that is gain. It's a great travesty. If you have all that and you don't believe in the equality that the Bible preaches, a great travesty, and you will not have a reward for that. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and neither can we carry anything out. So what are you going to do with those 17 planes out there on the tarmac? Oh, it'll be a shame, right? But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. Yes, many people are going to end up denying the Lord in order to keep their prosperity. Yeah. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, look at the rich, how sorrowful they are. Look how their lives end. Yes. So, filling in the cracks in this dream to perfect the house and to purify it reminds us of this revelation that was given to Hermas by the Lord. This is the Shepherd of Hermas, the vision of the tower, and it's chapters 5 through 7. And it talks much of this. The building of the tower will be finished, and all will rejoice together around the tower, and they will glorify God, because the tower is finished. I asked her, saying, Lady, I should like to know what became of the stones, And what was meant by the various kinds of stones, meaning that made up the tower, right? And we know in Micah that the tower of the flock is Zion, right? Zion, the bride. So what kind of stones make up this? I mean, because we are stones, living stones, according to the scriptures. So what kind of stones? What are we supposed to look like? What's wrong with some of the stones? Why won't they be in this tower, etc.? In reply, she said to me, "Not because you are more deserving than all others that this revelation should be made to you." And a little later, "Tell them that all these things are true, and that none of them is beyond the truth, and all of them are firm and sure and established on a strong foundation." And I agree with that. Hear now with regard to the stones which are in the building. Those square white stones which fitted exactly into each other are apostles, bishops, teachers, and deacons who have lived in godly purity and have acted as bishops and teachers and deacons chastely and reverently to the elect of God. I'm afraid these are in the minority. The very fact that they are in the bride shows that they're in the minority. There's 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, but my love, my undefiled, is but one, the Lord said. So they're in the minority. And they have acted as bishops and teachers and deacons chastely and reverently to the elect of God. Some of them have fallen asleep, and some will still remain alive. And they have always agreed with each other and been at peace among themselves and listened to each other. On account of this, they join exactly into the building of the tower. You know, there's got to be peace between you and others. Can't be a faction that cannot be in this tower. This is not a cracked-up tower, okay? This is the tower of the flock, Zion, the tower of the flock, which John was told in Revelation that that's the bride. "But who are the stones that were dragged from the depths?" Hermas was asking. "And which were laid into the building and fitted in with the rest of the stones previously placed in the tower?" Answer: they are those who suffered for the loss for the Lord's sake. "But I wish to know, O lady, who are the other stones which were carried from the land?" "Those," she said, "which go into the building without being polished are those whom God has approved of. For they walked in the straight ways of the Lord and practiced his commandments." "But who are those who are in the act of being brought and placed in the building?" "They are those who are young in faith and are faithful, but they are admonished by the angels to do good, for no iniquity has been found in them." Ooh. "Who then are those whom they rejected and cast away?" "These are they who have sinned and wish to repent." You know, there are people who wish to repent, and there's those who wish to justify themselves in their sin so they can continue on because they love their sin more than they love God. Okay. "On this account, they have not been thrown far from the tower, because they will yet be useful in the building if they repent." And, of course, repent means change your mind. How would you know what you're supposed to change your mind to unless you read God's Word? And how do we get a revelation of God? because Jesus is the Word. This is how you get a revelation of God. This is how you know how to repent and what repentance is. Those then who are to repent, if they do repent, will be strong in faith. If they now repent while the tower is building. So there is a time period. For if the building be finished, there will not be more room for anyone. And the bride will be finished, and there will be no more room for people to enter into the bride, as he says. But he will be rejected. In other words, be rejected from this bride building, this Zion Tower of the flock. This privilege, however, will belong only to him who has now been placed near the tower. Draw close to the Lord, right? As to those who were cut down and thrown far away from the tower, do you wish to know who they are? They are the sons of iniquity, and they believed in hypocrisy, and wickedness did not depart from them. And for this reason, they are not saved, since they cannot be used in the building on account of their iniquities. It's sad for people to believe that they're saved because they accepted Jesus, when he doesn't accept them because of their sins, because they have not repented. The condition is repent and believe. Repent first and believe. So people think that they can come into Christianity just by accepting Jesus, but he doesn't accept them if they don't repent. Okay, and they can't be used in the building, these people who have this kind of foolish theology. Wherefore, they have been cut off and cast far away on account of the anger of the Lord, for they have roused him to anger. But I shall explain to you the other stones which you saw lying in great numbers and not going into the building. Those which are rough are those who have known the truth and not remained in it, nor have they been joined to the saints or sanctified ones, right? On this account are they unfit for use. Amen. Who are those that have rents? In other words, they're torn, right? These are they who are at discord in their hearts one with another. In other words, they're holding something against another and are not at peace amongst themselves. They indeed keep peace before each other, but when they separate one from the other, their wicked thoughts remain in their hearts. So there's wickedness in them. There's unforgiveness. There's bitterness, for which Jesus said they would be turned over to the tormentors. Matthew 18, 34 and 35. These then are the rents which are in the stones. But those which are shortened are those who have indeed believed and have the larger share of righteousness, yet they have also a considerable share of iniquity, and therefore they are shortened and not whole. You can't put small blocks in there with a bunch of big blocks, right? That's right. Be a lopsided building, wouldn't it? But who are these, lady, that are white and round, and yet do not fit in the building of the tower? And she answered and said, how long will you be foolish and stupid and continue to put every kind of question and understand nothing? These are those who have faith indeed, because they're white, right? But they have also the riches of this world. Oh, now you're meddling, David. No, I'm not. The Lord is. They have also the riches of this world. When therefore tribulation comes on account of their riches and business, they deny the Lord. Yep, there you go. I answered and I said unto her, when then will they be useful for the building, lady? She said, when the riches that now seduce them have been circumscribed, or cut away, right? Then will they be of use to God. For as a round stone cannot become square unless portions be cut off and cast away, so also those who are rich in this world cannot be useful to the Lord unless their riches be cut down. Learn this first from your own case. When you were rich, you were useless. But now you are useful and fit for life. Be useful to God, for you also will be used as one of these stones. Well, okay. You know, Paul exhorted the rich to be ready to distribute, meaning so that there might be equality, he also said. In other words, everybody needs their needs met. And while some are overindulging, others are in need. Well, God gives to people richly in order that they dole it out to bring this equality to pass. This is God's word. Now the other stones which you saw cast far away from the tower and falling upon the public road and rolling from it into pathless places are those who have indeed believed, but through doubt have abandoned the true road. Thinking then that they could find a better way, they wandered and became wretched and entered upon pathless places. But those which fell into the fire and were burned are those who have departed from ever forever from the living God. Nor does the thought of repentance ever come into their hearts. See, God grants repentance, the Bible says. He can take it out of your heart or he can put it in your heart. And when you're cold and you just want to live according to the ways of the world, the lusts of your flesh, and there's no repentance there, it doesn't matter if you claim Jesus or speak Jesus with your tongue, you will not know Jesus. And you will not enter into his kingdom. On account of their devotion to their lusts and to the crimes which they committed, yes, they won't enter because of this. Do you wish to know who are the others which fell near the waters? Now, waters can represent the word of God, and the waters also represent death to self, because baptism is going down in the waters of God's word and denying yourself in order to obey the word, which reforms your mind and brings you into the image of Jesus, right? So, she said, do you wish to know who are the others which fell near the waters, but could not be rolled into the waters? So some people think that's just literal baptism, but it's a spiritual baptism also. Baptism unto death. We came here to take up our cross and follow Jesus to the death of self. These are they who have heard the word and wish to be baptized in the name of the Lord. But when the chastity demanded by the truth comes into their recollection, they draw back and again walk after their own wicked desires. We see multitudes of these people that just want to accept Jesus and go back to their old wicked ways, and no change in them, no Jesus walking in them. You know, they think that they've arrived. How false. She finished her exposition of the tower, but I, shameless as I yet was, asked her, is repentance possible for for all those stones which have been cast away and did not fit into the building of the tower? And will they yet have a place in this tower? Repentance, said she, is yet possible, but in this tower they cannot find a suitable place. Well, in other words, they will not be among the first fruits bride, but will have to be crucified of their sinful nature even to enter the kingdom. And because, he goes on to say, but in another and a much inferior place they will be laid. Yes, the bride is not the inferior place. The inferior place is that beneath the bride, like the house of the women in, Esther, the house of the women. Esther came out of the house of the women and was deemed beautiful by the king, and stayed in his house, right? Okay, but in another place, much inferior, they will be laid, and that too, only when they have been tortured and completed the days of their sins. So, would you rather do it now or later? Because if you do it now, you have a chance to be in the tower while it's still being built. If you do it later, you will miss that. You'll still have to go through misery and crucifixion in order to be in the kingdom itself. So why not do it now? Count the cost and do it now. And on this account will they be transferred because they have partaken of the righteous word. And then only will they be removed from their punishments. Okay, you want to get out of the misery. The fast way is submit. Get under the table, submit to the bread of the kingdom, right? Only then will they be removed from their punishments when the thought of repenting of the evil deeds which they have done has come into their hearts. But if it does not come into their hearts, they will not be saved on account of the hardness of their heart. Well, you say they won't be saved, David. Well, Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And he's talking about enduring your cross, enduring trials and troubles and tribulations and testings. Amen? Wow. Okay, continuing on here. Here's a revelation also given to Claire Pinar. The man-child helps the bride escape Babylonian Christianity. Yes, that's what Jesus did with the bride in his day, too. I had a dream that I, representing the bride, was in Kempton City Shopping Center. The name Kempton is an old English word that means warrior settlement. This shopping center, I believe, represents Babylonian Christianity. They're always at war. They're always divided, right? I believe this is the training ground for the bride, Claire says. Yeah, I believe that too, because they can see the fruit of those who walk after the flesh. How many of God's people who end up in the bride go through Babylon first? Yes, there's a lesson there. First of all, the test is, are you going to go through Babylon and out the other side? And second of all, you get to look at the fruit of these people who do not believe and walk in the word of the Lord. Right? They've got a religion. They all claim to be the one, but not so. This is the shopping center my mom and I frequented when I was a little girl. And then later, my dad and mom would take us there for movies regularly. I have dreamed about this shopping center 3 times recently. Okay, and here's dream number 1. I dreamed that I was leaving a gym that was adjacent to the Kempton City Shopping Center, not in it, but adjacent to it, right? This gym could represent the teaching that I found at UBM. Amen. Well, no matter where you have found this teaching, it will bring you out from among them, right? Exercising true Christianity and self-control, building spiritual endurance and strength. Also, the shopping center represents the buying and the selling attributed to Babylonian Christianity. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, I think, depicts this pretty good. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? And who is that one? Jesus. And those who abide in Jesus. Amen. Even so run that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly. In other words, if you run, run in the certain way of arriving at your destination, right? Therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body, and I bring it into bondage. Lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, this is the great Apostle Paul now, I should myself be rejected. Adokimos, rejected. So there are people that are even, maybe even close to the level of the Apostle Paul. And by the way, if you fall away from that height, you will not be granted repentance, the Bible says. Okay. So we buffet this body. The body wants to do what pleases the body. And the soul wants to do what pleases the soul, right? So have a born-again soul and please God and command your body to submit. Amen? This is our job. We take up our cross and follow Jesus. The cross is death to self. And if you obey the word of God, you will have death to self. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I needed a special tag on my car to get through the boom gates. I did not have the tag, but my car went through the boom gates without any problem. All the other cars that had the tags but had not been to the gym were backed up and could not get out or free from the parking lot. The gym. They had to go to the gym to have a freedom, right? So without exercising true Christianity and self-control, one can't escape Babylonian Christianity. The tags may represent the labels of the different religious sects of apostate Christianity and all their legalistic rules and regulations of the law that they have put themselves under to have justification by their works instead of justification through faith in the Word. Working out their own salvation through the works of Christ in you. Amen. The Greek word for name means nature, character, and authority. And the name of Jesus, by which we should do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, represents his nature, character, and authority. And it's the only tag that we need. Colossians 2 and 20 through 23 says this, if you died with Christ, which happened at the cross, but it has to become effectual and manifest, right? If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world or the principles of the world, Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish with the using. After the precepts and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and severity to the body, in other words, you're buffeting your body, but they're of not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. Amen. And then she said, I woke up. She said, I believe this dream was showing me that when we put in the effort of getting in the Word for a spiritual workout, we will have rest and be moved along by the Spirit in a supernatural way. And those who are trying to use the tags to get through the gates, even when they'd not worked out, represents those who take the name, of which it means nature, character, and authority, of the Lord in vain. They've taken the name in vain. They claim Christianity, but they've taken it in vain. They haven't exercised themselves unto righteousness. Okay, I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and my finger landed on Zebad. In context, Ezra 10:33-11. Of the sons of Hashum, Mattani, Mattah, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shemaiah. These were those guilty of intermarriage in Ezra 10:10-11. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, you have trespassed and have married foreign women to increase the guilt of Israel. Now, therefore, make confession unto the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the foreign women. Ooh, come out from among them. You know, Jesus went into the Judaistic sheepfold and called his own by name and called them out. He only called his own. They knew his voice, and they came out from among them. And all of his disciples did too. They were the called out ones, the church. It wasn't the ones who stayed in the legalistic sheepfold, as many do today. It was those that come out who are called the called out ones. So those who are one with a foreign woman are those joined to the apostate religious system of Christianity, and they will not inherit with the righteous. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord. Amen. I remember when I first came out of a Pentecostal church that I had joined for about a year. I didn't join in any physical way, but I just was with them for about a year. And I outgrew it because I was reading my Bible, and they were not. They were just respecting the preacher. And when we came out, one of us had a vision of these people around us stepping back and out of the way so that we could walk through the midst of them and enter into the kingdom. That's right. And it happened just that way. So here's dream number two. I dreamed I and two other Christian couples were in a windowless room on the top level of the Kempton City Shopping Center. And I believe that this is probably representing climbing to the heights of Babylonian Christianity. And there are many of them out there. They just have received, believe that they are there. They have arrived, right? I told them they die there without the sunlight. S-O-N-L-I-G-H-T, right? And that they'd better follow me. Yes, it's true. And you too out there, you should be telling people you must come out from among them and be separate. And you must also demonstrate New Testament Christianity, because who's going to listen to you if you don't? The bride will outgrow the apostate church system and will lead her little sister out of apostate religion in the time of the revival. Song of Solomon 8:8-10 says this: "We have a little sister, she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a turret of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall." This is the bride speaking. "I am a wall, and my breasts like the towers thereof. Then was I in his eyes as one that found peace." What is this saying? It's saying one who has been fed can feed the young ones, the milk of the word. If you haven't been fed, you can't give it to them, right? And some will be very good at sharing the milk of the word, especially the bride here. "It was pretty dingy in there with loads of grease." In other words, this is the epitome, the top of Babylonian Christianity in their apostasy. "It was pretty dingy in there with loads of grease on the yellow tiled floor, similar to the floor one would have in a reception entrance area of a factory. The color yellow represents warning or danger, and the greasy grace doctrines will lead many to slip sliding from their church pews straight into hell." And it's the truth. They are feeling justified because they belong to this group of people that they respect, listening to a preacher that they respect, but they haven't read enough of the word to know who to respect and who not to respect. Yeah, I always tell people, go get into the word. Find out what the church looks like before you join it. Yeah, that's right. And get stuck there for 40 or 50 years. One couple, Andrea, meaning masculine and brave, and Edwin, meaning wealthy friend, were reluctant but chose to follow me out. Okay, so here's a masculine woman. They need to come out. And here is a wealthy friend. They need to come out. Okay. They were reluctant, but they chose to follow me out. That's good. Awesome. Those who belong to the Lord will hear his voice and come out, and they'll follow the first fruits, man, child, and bride. They'll come out from among them. They will be called the church. No, they're not the church when they're still in there. That's a deception. Okay, they call themselves churches, but they're not. They're not coming out. The called out ones. The other couple stayed behind, and when I looked back, there were black bars over the opaque window-like boxes in the apartment where they were. Black bars. They looked very smug. It was strange. Yeah. They chose to stay in captivity because of religious pride. You know there are demons out there that rule over the religions? They want to keep people in captivity? They know that they've got them if they keep them in captivity. If they can't keep you out of the world, as the way the church calls it, the world, they will keep you in religious pride. And these are called religious spirits. They rule over people in bondage. And they won't let them consider more truth that would cause them to have to be holy and give up their ways. They won't consider that. That spirit won't let them do that. When you're praying for people like that, remember to bind the religious spirit and cast it out. Amen. We had to walk over really flimsy-looking pieces of plywood and walk through a window, down a fire escape, and through another window. Isn't it worth going through whatever you have to do to come out from among them and be separate? Yes. To get into a beautiful apartment all decked out in the finest white linen. Okay, there you go. God wants to take you out of that filthy place and bring you to a nice, clean, comfortable place where your flesh is subdued, right? It requires faith to walk in the promises that are written in the Word. And this is what will provide an escape from a fiery judgment and eternity in hell. This is a test. Babylonian Christianity is a test. You must be going through it like a sieve, you know, and going out the other side. They cannot trap you. Keep on going. Like I said, it's a playpen. It's made for you to grow up and climb over the bars and get out. The white linen is the righteous acts of the saints, who are the sanctified or separated ones. Yes, indeed. I went first, and then I could not see where to jump out of the window. My husband, Rion, was there somewhere, and I heard him say, "Just jump. It's okay. You already know where you'll land." Yep, that's a leap of faith, they call it, right? And also, obey your husbands. I woke up before I reached the other side, but I felt so good in that jump, that leap of faith, right? And it takes that leap of faith to leave the multitudes of those who love the fleshly comforts of Babylon to go to the sanctified life that they have refused. Jesus' disciples did this, and they were ostracized by all of those people who would not come out from among them, and persecuted and ultimately killed by these wicked people, while all the time they thought they were the people of God. And nothing has changed. So Jesus' disciples took that leap of faith, right? Mark 10:28-30 says, "Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake,
and for the gospel's sake. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. What he's saying is, you must be prepared to come out from among them in order to have this eternal life. Now, when you're young and you're in there and you're still seeking the truth, God holds you less accountable. But he, if you're praying to him and asking him for truth, do it. Pray to him. Ask him to give you the truth. Now, when he does, make sure you listen to it and obey it. If you consider, oh, my family's back in that church and so on and so forth, as I've seen people do, you're going to be dropped like a hot potato. And in the end, eternal life, he says. Then I woke up. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and my finger landed on inner court. In context, Ezekiel 40 and 32 says, "And he brought me into the inner court towards the east, and he measured the gate according to these measures." Oh, well, the inner court represents sanctification and purification to enter the presence of the Father. And from the outer court of the worldly, you must come out from among them. So, be moved by the Spirit of God. Think not what you're leaving behind, like Lot's wife. She thought about what she was leaving behind, and she became a pillar of salt. Never did follow Lot out from among them. Okay, dream number 3. I dreamed I was standing with Michael Hare, meaning who is like God. Michael means who is like God. And I was pointing out the exact window where my mother had wanted to throw me out of as a crying little toddler. Ooh. I had no fear or sadness in showing him, only slight embarrassment. She was scared. She was young and divorced. Well, the apostate church is full of faithless, immature women or Christians whom our heavenly husband, the Lord, has divorced. As we grow and become hungrier for the truth of the word, we cause the apostate mother church much pain and discomfort. Yes, they don't want to be around you. You're always too spiritual. They say you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. There's no such thing as that, folks. There's no such thing as that. Since our destination is heaven, and we're just passing through this mud ball, we need to pay attention to those who are heavenly wise, right? So as we begin to question their religious doctrinal beliefs, they want to kick us out of their established organizations. Yes, that's true. And they even threaten you to kick you out if you don't line up with them. But that's not a threat. That's a good thing. Many of you out there are listening to me because you were kicked out. Praise God. That's like Brer Rabbit. Don't throw me in that briar patch. Rabbits go very well through briar patches. She said, Michael and I and my children were standing at the bottom of Kempton City Shopping Center. And as we looked up at the cross section of the entertainment level as well as the apartments, I showed Michael and pointed and said, "Third one from the left, on the second floor." And she said, "This is not my real apartment block where my mom and I stayed at in real life." What was interesting, though, is that all these apartments were completely refurbished, new, and tastefully decorated. And all the apartments had young black families or single-parent black families or black students living in them. Of course, this is representing those who are walking in darkness, right? They were friendly, but I knew it had not been home for me for a very long time. Well, this is all symbolizing that this is a place of people in darkness being tied to past bad experiences that still affect them. The bride will overcome the past by forgiveness and living the crucified life. And she went on to say, "It came time to leave, and we could not leave because I thought I needed a movie ticket stub or something similar to use to pay for the parking. I can't remember what I did to get out of this place, but I went back into the cinema or entertainment level and told my children to wait at the bottom for me, and I told them not to go anywhere without me, and I think I was going to ask the ticketmaster for a ticket. But then, in a blink, we were in the underground parking lot." Ooh, free, right? Well, in other words, they were delivered by grace, free of charge. Thinking that you need a ticket to leave is the trap of justification by your works, or legalism, so that the apostates believe is their ticket to salvation and heaven. But it's only by the free gift of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this sets us free and gives us rest from the world and bondage to Babylonish religion. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "By grace, for by grace have you been saved." It's already done. "Through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." You can ask God for the gift of grace through faith, right? "A gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For in Christ Jesus were we created for his works." We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. Oh, glory be to God. There was a white woman selling miniature black pot-bellied pigs outside of a red car that was parked to the left of us. Whenever you see left, just remember, you're left. The pigs squealed and looked cute, but we knew we didn't want any. Red is the color of sin, and pigs represent the lusting of unclean flesh. Amen. We want to avoid living after our own desires. The pigs were being bought by these young black families as they entered back into the building. Oh, my goodness. So, even if you do come out and you're overindulging in the flesh, you know you're going right back. Overindulgent fleshly life will bring one back into bondage. Many people have gone back into church thinking, I'll go in there and fix it. I'll go in there. No, you won't. No, not if you're fleshly minded. You'll go in there and get brought back into bondage. Michael was then in the passenger seat, and I was in the driver's seat of a big white car. It was new and clean, but the ignition was not yet turned on. There were no cars on the right side of us, and this could be the man-child anointing the bride to solo when the power of the Holy Spirit is turned on, with the latter rain being poured out. And, of course, this is represented by the new, clean, white car. Woo-hoo. And when the man-child epiphanies through us, shines forth through us, he will, in effect, be in the driver's seat of our lives. 1 John 2 and 28 says this, "And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested." In other words, not just receiving it by faith, but seeing the manifestation. "If he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So when Christ is manifested in you, you will not be ashamed when you see him." 1 John 3, 2 and 3, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. But we know that if he shall be manifested," and it's talking about in us, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Oh, glory be to God. And Michael said to me, "I'm making you a disciple. You need to listen carefully. You need to pay attention." And I replied, "Yes, Michael, I'm listening." "I need you to figure out how to get out of this parking lot," he said. "Over and over again, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. You will be all right." He was smiling and nodding encouragingly, like a wise driving instructor. "But first, you got to get the car out of the parking lot. You can't drive it down the road if it's still in the parking lot, right?" So we're becoming disciples of Christ as we humble ourselves in obedience to his word and listen carefully to his Spirit leading and guiding us. But we must come out of resting in the flesh in order to rest in his word, that we may do the works of Christ. Luke 8, 20 and 21 says, "And it was told him, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. But he answered and he said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these that hear the word of God and do it." Yes, don't pause when you hear the word of God. Go right to do it. Be immediately obedient, because the longer you pause, the easier it is to forget it. I was so confused about where the exit of this parking lot was. I had to turn right, but it felt like I could not get the car to change direction. Then I realized the car was not yet turned on, and then I woke up. Oh. I received by faith at random the word believe in Romans 10 and 14. In context, 14 and 15. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard?" That's our job. You got to go and tell them, right? "And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things." Amen. And Michael here, representing the man-child ministers, is bringing the good news to the bride to rest in and become mature in order to lead the rest of God's people out of bondage to their apostasies and the Babylonian world system. So as Jesus, you know, led his disciples, who John the Baptist called the bride, to do this, to be evangelists, to go out, to raise up the fivefold ministry, to raise up the church, etc., etc. And the church, of course, is the called out ones. So, here's another one. Man, child, bride, escape the beast. And the factious apostates are judged. And this was given to Claire on 3/8/21. And Rion put a note here. He said, before I read the dream, I asked the Lord for a word at random and received Deuteronomy 22:1. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely bring them again unto thy brother. So we are our brother's keeper. We don't want their flesh going astray, right? In the dream, the sheep were being brought to hear the word through the man, child, and bride. Amen. The first part of the dream is encouragement that God has all of our needs supplied, even when the beast system and regulations that will be put in place make it seem impossible for Christians to provide for their own needs. Temperature scanning devices from the 2020 pandemic have already mentally prepped people to be scanned on their foreheads. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. In the dream, Rion and I were trying to get into a shopping center in the northern part of our state. It was very difficult as we needed to present our foreheads or an app for tracking so that we could be allowed into the shop to buy our goods. Now, they tell you unless you do this, you will not be able to buy or sell, but they don't know what they're talking about. God provides anyway. We were supposed to be monitored on arrival, on checkout, and on departure. It was all done with smartphones and the head. Okay. And Rion said this, this reminds me of Brother Andrew, God's smuggler. The communist countries behind the Iron Curtain would make him declare his exact itinerary of each city he would be visiting. And I think it was Romania or Bulgaria, but God still had it all planned out for him. Yes, amen. You know, the shopping center in the north represents the communistic beast system of our day that was rapidly taking shape following the 2020 pandemic. But God, right? Isaiah 14:13-15. And thou saidst in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's Abraham's seed, by the way. And this is Satan speaking. And that's exactly what he was doing. And we know that from the Bible in Revelation 13 that he gets cast down. Yes. Or Revelation 12 that he gets cast down. Yes. He wants to exalt himself against above God's people, but he is failing, just exactly as the scripture says. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. Yeah, in church. You don't think the devil goes to church? In the uttermost parts of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. Amen. And I remember thinking, we don't have the app or the thing in our heads, but we easily went through the shop, collected what we wanted, and then paid and left. So nothing can stop the righteous from having their needs met, right? I don't know how we paid for the goods, as we still had cash and it was a cashless environment. It was like a department store and we were buying things for our son's birthday. These were not dire needs, but really just wants. Well, that's good. You don't have to get desperate you know, to receive what you want, what you need. I believe Claire's son's name is Daniel, and if this is so, the Lord might be using his birthday in the dream as a type of the man-child coming forth from the bride company during this reign of the beast, just like in the book of Daniel. Daniel wouldn't stop praying to God when the king's decree went into effect and was thrown into the lion's den. But he was supernaturally protected and subsequently promoted because he honored and glorified God rather than man who submits to the beast, right? Amen. I felt like we were doing something illegal, yet we weren't. Their systems did not pick up on our activity until we were out and back in our car. Oh, praise be to God. So God can do that? Yes, he can. They called us and warned us not to do it again. And we agreed. We did not really take them seriously, and Rion kept on saying, "They don't know who our daddy is." Yeah, that's true. And Rion said, because we did not have the app or the thing in our foreheads, we were already walking in faith and cast out fear of not being able to buy. Thus, we have all of our needs supplied because we know who our Father is. Amen. The beast system, through the religious leaders, did the same thing, persecuting the disciples in the book of Acts, like in Acts 4, 17 through 21. But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and charged them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you rather than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. And they, when they had further threatened them, let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Yes, those Pharisees were getting a bad reputation. And the disciples were getting a good reputation. And that's the way it's working out now, too. Then the scene changed, and Rion and I were in a very large hallway with torches lit on both sides to give light. We followed David Eales into what initially looked like a boardroom. We entered from the right side. Well, you don't want to come in from the wrong side. And he sat on the right top corner, and we sat directly next to him. I kept on taking notes of what he was saying. He was prepping us on what was to come next. Yes, and the man-child will know this. Amen. As Jesus revealed to the bride the things to come, so it will be with the David man-child and today's bride. And this event was very fancy. David was in black tie attire, as was Rion. I was wearing a very shiny dress, and my hair was halfway down my back. So, speaking of submission, right? A sign of submission. And this is, of course, this dress is learning to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and his works, right, as Paul exhorted us. In the back of the room, I saw my home printer and binder. And I thought, I'm glad that's arrived. That means we can print whatever David needs us to print. Okay. In Jesus' day, the bride wrote the story of the gospel in order to pass it on to others. She said, I had assumed that would be my job. Well, that's true. The bride's job is to do this, is to reveal Jesus to the world, right? And the worldly church. Psalm 68, 7 through 11. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth trembled. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Yon Sinai trembled at the presence of God and the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, an outpouring of the Spirit, right, in the Word of God. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Yes, thy congregation dwelt therein. And thou, O God, didst prepare of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord giveth the word, and here it is. The women that publish the tidings are a great host. Amen. And so it is today. Then David came and sat right next to me and gave me a book. The pages were gilded in gold with many pictures in them about Joachim. And representing the pure word of God, no adding to or taking away from it. David was pointing to the pictures and saying, this is what they need to know. You need to get this part right. And Joachim is a given name, meaning raised by Yahweh, or YHWH, right? Raised, which is a way of saying resurrected. Your resurrection life comes from him, and what he expects of you is faith. We need to be raised or resurrected by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord gives us hope. It gives us faith. And we believe in those promises. And we believe that God is able to finish the good work he has started in us, right? And as I looked up again, the room became larger. It was now a full conference-sized room with round tables for about 10 people at a time to sit at. And she said 10 represents testimony. Yes, and it also represents law or truth, right? And these are all people ready to receive and give a testimony of Jesus in the man-child, Joachim, right? Just as the early disciples went forth to give testimony of the resurrection life of Jesus to the multitudes and his sacrificial life, so it will be in these days. And this is representing the marriage feast. At this point, we realize that there was a shabbily dressed man with shaved ginger or reddish hair following us with a camera. He was in a beige, light-colored suit that was too big for him. And in other words, he had a higher expectation of himself than he really deserved. And he had a belly. He was not neat or presentable for this kind of meeting. He had a big belly. He was walking in the flesh, right? This shabbily dressed man with reddish hair represents the rebellious religious faction who hates and slanders their brethren, as Esau did to his brother Jacob. In Obadiah 1, 8 through 10, and we'll also read 18 and 21. Shall I not in that day, says the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom? Oh, so they got the stupid spirits. Yes. And understanding out of the Mount of Esau. Can you see the leftists, as a type and a parable of this in the church, can you see the leftists in the natural, how stupid they are? How they expect us to believe the silliest and dumbest things, like this fake president in his fake studio. dumb stuff. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one may be cut off from the mount of Esau by slaughter. And by the way, they are marching them down to Gitmo and trying them and executing many for their very heinous crimes, most evil that the earth has seen. For the violence done to thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Now remember, this is talking about both in the church and in the world, this parallel that's happening. In verse 18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall burn among them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining to the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And down in 21, and saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdoms shall be the Lord's. Amen. He kept on wanting to get David on camera, this Edomite, this leftist, this factious person. He kept on wanting to get David on camera. He said to his wife, who looketh more formal than he did, we'll put him all over YouTube. We'll expose him. We'll send out the revelations first as if it comes from us. So they were going to speak the revelations that they got. The slanderers are teaching the things they learned among us. God would never give that to them. And they're teaching it as though it was their own revelations. I'm watching one of them very carefully as he does this, throwing out his revelations, which he got from us. But he's a rebel. And could have never gotten those by himself. I thought he was out of a line, but I said nothing. And David then smiled and gave him a video the size of a flash drive and said, here, you can play this. The man opened the flash drive on his camera and threw it up onto a large cinema-style screen that everyone could see. He looked so pleased with himself. But then it showed that this man is in a really lewd act with a little boy. Well, they are, in the natural, fornicators, and many are bisexual. That's just the facts. Some of these actually were hiding that, and the others, because they chose their fellowship, received it from them. I turned away in shame and disgust, because it all really came from the Lord upon them as part of their judgment. And when you judge others, you have plenty of reason to be judged, because God turns you over to a reprobate mind. There were gasps from the audience. Yes, it was horrible, right? Rion said, they project and they accuse others of what they themselves are guilty of. David then took the microphone and said, do any of you do anything like this? And the audience said, no, it's so true. The people out in the lost world do not do the things that these people in their reprobate minds do. They considered hypocrisy to the max. Then he said, well, this man had this happen to him by his daddy, and now he is doing it to others. He will not be accepted. It's true. We know for particular a leader who was mistreated by many daddies, and now he is spiritually molesting other people. And you know, this factious man in this dream here also represents the man who came in to the wedding feast without the proper attire, and which was a wedding garment. Matthew 22:11-14 says, "But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment." And that is, of course, Christ. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Putting on is a garment. "And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" Now, this is not in heaven, folks. This is on earth that this happens. This is not in heaven, because those people never enter heaven. The wedding feast is here on the earth. And we're fellowshipping the groom, right? "How camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. "Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Okay, so these are people that were called, but not chosen. And you choose the fruit. You don't want the plant. You choose the fruit. The plant gets plowed back under, just like your old body does, right? "The man disappeared, and the screen was pulled down and went black. David then turned with his knees touching mine and holding on to Rian's arms, saying, Are you ready? And I replied, To do what? To print and to bind? Absolutely. He said, No, to speak to all these people." This is basically, we are the tablets that speak forth the truth of God's word, right? "To speak to all these people." So Jesus raised up the bride for the purpose to speak to the people. Rian, she's right here with you. "I looked up at Rian, who was on my right, and he was much taller than he'd been a minute ago. He was smiling and looking so good in his black tie suit. I looked up and out towards the crowd again, and this time it was as big as a rugby stadium, filled with people in dressed in white. And David took us both, one under each arm, and said, I love you so much. Our God loves you so much. I really, really love you. And I got emotional, and my heart wanted to explode at hearing those words. And Rian said, the anointing is passed on. That's exactly what Jesus did with the bride. He passed on the anointing to them. They went forth and touched the multitudes. Amen. And the knees touching represents the anointed power given through prayer that will be passed on to the bride from the man-child Jesus, whose first earthly ministry consisted of mainly prayer and then mighty works that followed, right? Amen. Then David said, Come, and he led us back down the dark hallway with the torches on either side of the walls. He was about to speak in one of the other rooms that went off to the sides of the hallway. And then he passed an African pastor from either Nigeria or Ghana. He said, Brother, I am so glad you're here. Are you ready? How many of your assembly came? And the man replied, They're all here, David. God be praised. Yes, amen. A great revival is already starting among those in Africa who walk in darkness, and this revival will spread worldwide when the man-child anointing comes. And as we walked on, the doors on the left of the hallway were opened, and there were masses of Asian, Chinese, and Korean women singing in choirs, singing praises to the king. They were saying, Worthy is the Lamb of God. And Rian said, And this is worldwide. Yes, it is. You see, it's spreading. Then I woke up, and 2 hours later, I had another dream, and I was watching a calendar go backwards from the 27th of August all the way to the end of July. I don't know which year it was on the calendar, and then it blew away. And I heard that song that Charity Gale sings. Look what the Lord has done. I suspect this may be the beginning of revival. Great revival. Anyway, Rion said, it is finished. The calendar could be an indication of when this is happening. During late summer in the northern hemisphere, or spring for us in the southern hemisphere. And he said that because they live in Tasmania. And then I woke up. I did not ask the Lord for a word by faith at random straight away, because I was still trying to recall all the details of the first parts of the dream. I've asked him now, and I received Isaiah 60:11. Thy gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations, and their kings led captive. Yes, we want to become captives of Jesus, don't we? Bond servants of the Lord, as Paul put it. Amen, amen. Serve him with more fervor than we did serving the world. Amen. Oh God, we thank you so much for what you're doing. We thank you for pouring out your Spirit, enabling your people. We thank you for the revival that is going forth even now as we speak, and the great outpouring of your Spirit upon the people who are preaching the good news going forth. Oh, praise be to God. And Lord, we know it's all from you, and it's all grace. The world does not deserve what you're doing, but it will also be a temptation to many. And we pray that your people will endure this trial of their faith, this prosperity trial of their faith. We see preachers out there who have failed to handle money correctly, and they have failed the trial, the test that they had to go through. And they're rejected for their prosperity and their stealing from what belongs to God's people by putting them under the law to tithe to them and give to them and so on and so forth, so they can live like mighty kings, right? Nope, they have failed the test. And even the government who examined them agrees that this is wrong. I'm talking about lost people say, no, that this is wrong. So, Lord, we thank you that all the tests that we go through, we will be victorious. We will meet the needs of the people. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Amen. Lord, give wisdom in the days ahead. Let us be stewards and not owners. Because we are. We renounce ownership of everything you put in our hands for this great revival and for the building of the kingdom. We command it done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, God be with you. God bless you and keep you. And keep us in your prayers. And it's all happening in beginning. Thank you, Lord. All right, good night, and God bless.